You have your Bibles, turn to the book of Psalms 119. Psalms 119. I was thinking this morning of how blessed these young people are to be here this morning and to be in these services this week. When I was a teenager, I didn't ever have places where I went where somebody preached to me and tried to reach me and tried to help me and strengthen me in the things of God as far as youth camp meeting or anything like that. But I thank God that you're here. Psalms 119, verse 1. The Bible says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart.
Yes.
They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to take Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all Thy commandments. I will praise Thee with a brightness of heart when I shall have learned Thy righteous judgments. I will keep Thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto according to Thy word. With my whole heart have I sought Thee. Oh, let me not wander from Thy commandments." That's all I'm going to read. The Bible says in Isaiah 55, 6, "Seek ye the Lord while He might be found. Call ye upon Him while He's near." The Bible says in Matthew 7, 7, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." The Bible says in Hebrews 11, 6, "He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him."
Yes.
The Bible tells us here in verse 10, He says, "With my whole heart have I sought Thee."
Yes.
I was driving down the road on the way to Moxville, on the way to church one morning, and God showed me this. I was driving down the road and I was wondering, you know, there's a lot of people that are seeking a lot of things at church. But I wonder if we're seeking after God with the whole heart.
Yeah.
Amen, brother.
I wonder, some of you young people, if you've ever sought after God with all of your heart. I'm not talking about half-heartedly. I'm talking about with all of your heart, with everything that's in you. He said in the book of Psalms that you ought to seek after wisdom as silver and gold. May I say, whenever you seek after God, you ought to seek Him as if you were searching treasures. As you were seeking silver and gold. You know, of course, we hear about the people that were going over to California during the gold rush. They left their houses. They left their land. They left their property. They left their jobs. They left everything to go seek after gold over there in California and Alaska. And they would search all over the mountainsides. And they'd search all over the hills. And they'd search in the rivers. And they'd search in the creeks. And everywhere they could try to find gold, they would seek. And let me say something, my friends. That's exactly how we ought to seek God.
Yes.
You ought to seek Him as if you're seeking silver and gold. Woo! Jesus Christ is more precious than silver and gold and diamonds and rubies and jewels. Yes. Jesus Christ is more precious than money and cars and houses and lands and anything that this world has to offer. And may I say, my friends, I don't want you to misunderstand me. While you're seeking after the things of God, you can be missing God altogether. While you're seeking after the things of God, you cannot be seeking after Him. And this will leave you oftentimes disappointed. This search does end up with wrong intentions. I know a lot of preachers that have wrong intentions. Why? Because they quit seeking after God and they started seeking after things of God. This search will leave you powerless. It'll leave you without God. And may I say, you can seek God in worship and miss God. When Saul was commanded to go kill the Amalekites and kill King Agag and everything inside, he was to kill the sheep, he was to kill the ox, he was to kill everything, he was to kill the children, he was to kill the fathers, the mothers, the grandparents, everybody inside, because God told him to do it. And he went over there and he got the best of of the flock. He said, I'm going to spare them. I'm going to spare them for sacrifice. He said, I'm going to spare King Agag, and I'm going to bring him back with me. Then the prophet of God came down and he said, did you do what God said? He said, yeah, I did what God said. I went over there and destroyed him. He said, well, what about the bleeding of the sheep and the lowing of the cattle I hear? He said, well, I've just left those aside for sacrifice. I'm going to have these over here for sacrifice. And I heard it all my life by many different preachers that it's more precious to worship than any other thing. But here God said it's better to obey me than to sacrifice. That's what the Bible says. It's better to obey than to sacrifice. And here they were seeking after worship, but they were not seeking after God. The Bible says in the book of Malachi, I believe chapter 1, that they begin to bring sacrifices of lambs where, you know, the lambs, you know, had their eyes plucked out or one of their legs was cut off or so on and so forth. And they begin to bring these sacrifices to God. And God said, well, you brought all these sacrifices to me, but it's an abomination. And he said, I don't care about anything that you've done. It's just an abomination to me. And you say they were seeking after God. Yeah, they were seeking after worship, but they were not seeking after God. Because real worship comes when you seek after God with all of your heart. When you bring God your best. When you bring God your all. That's when real worship takes place. And they were seeking after worship, but they were not seeking after God. We have a generation of people that want to feel good. They want goosebumps. They want to feel some kind of emotion. They want to listen to this contemporary music. They want to listen to all this other bunch of worldly, ungodly trash. May I say, there's a lot of people that know where contemporary music came from. And a lot of it started back in the 60s when the Beatles and everybody else was going on. They would do acid and do cocaine and everything else. And they'd sit around a campfire and make up God songs and sing about Jesus Christ, how they're getting high on Jesus Christ. And may I say, it has the same spirit on it as it did then. It's still ungodly. It's still full of this world. It's still earthly, devilish, and sensual. You can be seeking after worship and be missing God. The Bible teaches us that you can be seeking after big numbers or souls and be missing God. There's a lot of preachers that I know that are after big numbers. There's a lot of people that I know that think God's in a big crowd. Let me tell you something. Some of the best services I've ever been in, when it's just a handful of people that love God, when it's just two or three that love Jesus Christ with all their heart. And let me tell you something. What about Gideon? When he started out with those thousands, I believe, if I'm wrong, y'all correct me, I believe it was about 30,000 men, and he ended up with just 300 men that were honest, that really wanted to do the service of God, that was sincere, that was honest, that was upright. Let me tell you, that's what it's about like in this generation. There's about 30,000 people trying to serve God, but you might find 300 that actually love God with all their heart. And while we're seeking after big numbers, what about Paul? Whenever Paul was preaching over there on Mars Hill, he just had a handful that got saved preaching to thousands. They say, well, he's not successful. He needs to give a better altar call. He needs to tell a couple more stories. He needs to be a little bit more entertaining. While on the other hand, Peter preached and thousands got saved. You say, well, Paul isn't successful. May I say, if Paul was a man, he said, I believe myself to be full of the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you something. You can be full of the Holy Ghost and not have big crowds and numbers. Let me tell you something. We're seeking after big crowds and numbers in this generation, and we're not seeking after God in this generation.
Amen.
You can be seeking after power with men and so on and not be seeking after God.
That's right.
What about the Baal worshipers whenever they went out and they were on Mount Carmel and Elijah came and they were all standing out there and Elijah said, well, my God's the real God. The Baal people said, my God's the real God. And he said, all right, we're going to have a sacrifice. We're going to pray fire out of heaven. We're going to see if your God's real or not. So, of course, the Baal worshipers got all their stuff together and they began to beg for the power and the fire to fall. The fire never came. Fire never came. Fire never came. We listen to a lot of old stories of preachers and so on about the things that happened in their life. Let me tell you something. We could get more interested in the stories and the things that happened in their life and the things that they did and the things that we hear that they did. We could get more interested in seeing those things than seeking after God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with everything that's within us. May I say, you ought to seek God with all of your heart. You could be seeking after knowledge, like Brother McVeigh preached on Sunday about seeking after wisdom and not having any understanding of God in your life. You can be seeking after knowledge and not be seeking after God. Nicodemus was a man. He was a ruler of the Jews. He knew a whole lot about the Bible. He could probably quote most of the Old Testament. He probably knew most of it, but he did not know God. There's a lot of people that are seeking after knowledge and they want to know things to be able to defend themselves and be able to say, well, I'm right about this and I'm right about this and everybody else is wrong and it's okay for me to do this. It's okay for me to drink beer. It's okay for me to do drugs. It's okay for me to rebel against my mom and dad. And you can twist the scriptures enough to make your mom and dad look bad and to make you look right and try to point your fingers at them. Wow, you are the rebel in your heart. That's exactly right. And let me tell you something, friend. You can be seeking after knowledge. That's why we have a lot of preachers that go to Bible colleges. Why? They're seeking after knowledge, and a lot of them are not even saved. I know preachers that got saved during Bible college. I know preachers that got saved after Bible college. You say they're seeking after God? No, they're seeking after knowledge, but they were not seeking after God. Let me tell you something, friend. You can be seeking after knowledge and not be seeking after God. You can be seeking after miracles and not be seeking after God. And the Bible says in 1 John 4:48, I believe, that there was a noble man that came to Jesus and his son was sick and he asked Jesus to heal him. And Jesus said, this generation seeks after signs and miracles. They're not seeking after me. That's what he said. They're seeking after signs and miracles. They're seeking after all these things. Oh, faithless and perverse generation. Let me tell you something. We have a generation of people. Unless they see some kind of miracle, they're not going to believe God. Unless you believe God, you're not going to see a miracle. That's exactly right. A lot of people want a miracle in their life, and when the miracle's already gone and it's already done away with, when God's already answered the prayer of the church and God's already blessed them in this thing, you won't find them within a million miles. Why? Because they were seeking after some kind of thing to happen in their life and they were not seeking after God. A lot of people want to seek after God when things are coming in their life, as long as they can see things happening in their life, as long as they can see miracles performed, as long as they can see all that. Why do you think Benny Hinn and all those other preachers, as they preach and they begin to do all these things and act like these miracles are being formed and so on and so forth? Why do you think people are spending money and spending thousands of dollars, spending hundreds of dollars running to those men? Why? Because they're seeking after a miracle and they're not seeking after God. You can be seeking after a miracle and not be seeking after God. You can be seeking after a prayer life so that everybody can notice you, so that you can run around telling everybody that you prayed an hour today, so that you can tell everybody how good you are, and tell everybody that you prayed 2 hours today, that you can tell everybody how spiritual you are. What about the Pharisees when they stood on the side of the streets and they prayed and they blow the trumpet so everybody would notice them, and they'd pray on the street corners. Everybody would say, well, they're good godly people. They're praying on the street corner. Look how good they are, man. They sure are clean cut. They look right. Everything's together and they're praying on the side of the street. Man, they love God, but they were not seeking God in their heart. You can be seeking after a prayer life and you can be seeking after people noticing you and not be seeking after God. You can be seeking after blessings and not be seeking after God. But may I say with my whole heart, I believe with all my heart, that we need a generation of people that are willing to seek after Jesus Christ more than anything in this life. That's exactly right.
Yes. Amen.
More than anything. I like to give this illustration because it helps describe how I feel about Jesus. How many of y'all ever drunk a Mountain Dew and you had a Reese's at the same time? I don't know if anybody's ever done that. He's done. Whenever you eat a Reese's, you drink a Mountain Dew, everybody knows the Mountain Dew is a pretty sweet drink, and a lot of people don't like it because it's so sweet. But if you eat a Reese's while you're drinking Mountain Dew, it makes that Mountain Dew taste awful bad. It does. It makes it taste awful bad. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ does. All the things in this life we seem to look at, all the things in this life that we think are so sweet, if you could just get a taste of Jesus Christ. If you can taste and see that the Lord is good, it's so much better than what this world has to offer. It's so much better than what religion has to offer. It's so much better than what popularity and fame and prestige and pride and money and everything else can do for you, my friend. Jesus Christ is the sweetest name I know. Amen. Jesus Christ has been better to me than anybody that I've ever met. Yes. Jesus Christ has been better to me than any person that I've ever met in my life. May I say that we need to seek Him with all of our heart. And while we're seeking all these other things of religion, there's people in here that like to sing. There's people in here that like things about religion, but you're not seeking after God. You're seeking after the things of religion, but you're not seeking after God. And may I say, if you're not seeking after God, you have the wrong intentions. You will be disappointed in religion, and you will be disappointed in powerless and your religion. But we need to seek after Jesus Christ, and He will never leave you disappointed, and He'll always leave you with the right intentions. And may I say, my friends, He will provide the whole entire package. If you can seek after Jesus, the Bible said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And may I say, when you seek after God, you'll get the total package. You'll get worship, real worship. You'll get real power. You'll get real miracles performed in your life. You'll see souls really saved, and you'll experience that real worship that we long to see in our churches. What about Job? You say, well, Job, what about Job? Job was a man that sought after God.
Right.
And he had all those houses. He had children. He had sheep. He had goats. He had oxen. He had servants. And the Bible said that Satan went to God, and he said, does Job fear God for naught? Has thou not made a hedge about him, about all that he hath on every side? Has thou not blessed the works of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land? But put forth now thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he'll curse thee to thy face. What did Job do? He said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And when Job lost everything he had, when he lost all sheep, when he lost all of his possessions, when his wife turned against him, he still could lift up his hands and said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And when we don't have crowds, and we don't have big numbers, and we don't see a whole lot going on in our life, may I say, we can still have Jesus, and we can still have joy, and we can still have peace. We can still have all that relationship with Jesus Christ. When the world comes against us, we can still have a relationship with Jesus Christ. The woman with an issue of blood, she was sick for many, many years in the Bible. And she was sick, and she would go to the doctors, and the doctors couldn't find the prescription for her, and the doctors couldn't help her out, and the doctors couldn't fix her problem. But one day she said, Jesus is in town, and if I could just get to Jesus, everything would be all right. If you could just get to Jesus, everything would be all right. If you could just get to Jesus, you could find the peace of God which passeth understanding. If you could just get to God, you'd find out why we get excited about Jesus Christ. If you could just find God, you'd get excited about it. And she made her way through the crowd and found Jesus Christ and touched the hem of his garment. And Jesus said, who touched me? And the disciples said, well, the throngs are around you, Jesus. How are we supposed to know who touched you? He said, yeah, there's a lot of people thronging me and a lot of people around me. There's a lot of people that are claiming religion, but there's not too many people touching me. That's exactly what's going on in our church day. There's a lot of people thronging Jesus Christ, but there's not too many people touching him. There's not too many people getting a hold of him. There's not too many people seeking him. And if you seek him early, you'll find him if you search with him with all your heart, the Bible says. What about Zacchaeus? People say, well, I don't believe sinners ought to seek after God. What are you going to tell them? Well, I want you to go out and get drunk. I want you to go out and smoke pot. I want you to go out and find. What are you going to tell them whenever they want to seek after God? What are you going to tell them? I believe with all my heart that sinners ought to seek after God. The Bible said that God's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him, the Bible says. And Zacchaeus climbed up in that sycamore tree. Why do you think he climbed up in the sycamore tree? Because he wanted to see the crowds? Because he wanted to see people lift their hands? Because he wanted to see people cry? No, he wasn't interested in all that. All he wanted was Jesus Christ. And as a result, he got the Savior. He got Jesus Christ. And Jesus went to his house with him. And Jesus stayed with him. And Jesus abode with him. And may I say, there's nothing more precious in this life than to have a relationship with Jesus Christ and to Him abide at your house. cross, and for him to abide in your heart, and for him to abide in your soul. Jesus Christ is the best thing that'll ever happen to you. What about Mary and Martha that one day when Jesus was coming and he heard that Lazarus was dead? Lazarus was dead for 4 days, and of course Martha was sitting around working, and Mary, all she wanted to do was worship at Jesus' feet. And Martha, all she wanted to do was work and do all these other little things. May I say, there might be a handful that want to worship at Jesus' feet. There's a lot of people that are wanting to go out here, work and love and claim Jesus Christ. But there's not too many people that want to get at his feet with tears and worship God in spirit and in truth. He that worships God must worship God in spirit and in truth. When's the last time you've been at Jesus' feet? Young people, I want to ask you. When's the last time you have been at Jesus' feet? When's the last time you sought God with all your heart? When my wife got saved, it was just a couple months ago. Whenever she got saved, she got under conviction and she realized that she was a sinner. She was battling with it and she just came to the conclusion, I'm lost. My wife sit there with tears running down her face. She said, I don't want to do anything tomorrow, and I don't want to do anything the next day. She just sat there quietly. All she wanted to do all day long was pray and read her Bible and get alone with God. Let me tell you something, young people. You want to sit around and play video games all day long? You want to sit around and watch television all day long? You want to sit around on Facebook all day long and you're not seeking after God? You've not sought after God? One of these days, God's going to come and he's going to leave you here during the Great Tribulation. One of these days, you'll die and go to hell unprepared to meet God. Why? Because you want to entertain yourself in the affairs of this life when you would not seek after Jesus Christ. You've got to seek after him with all of your heart, with everything that's in you. And who is this Jesus Christ that we're seeking? He is the one that left heaven to die for our sins. He's the same Jesus Christ that was in glory. He came down to this world and he died a vicarious death upon the cross that you might have life. He's the same Jesus Christ that said the foxes have their holes and the bird have their nest, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Jesus Christ went down to where the poor people was, and he lived like a poor man, and he lived like a poor man so that we didn't have to be poor. May I say, Jesus Christ went down to the lowest. Jesus Christ suffered family persecution. Even his family turned against him. Even his family turned their back on him. Even his family ran their mouth about him. And Jesus Christ had to deal with that. Jesus Christ had to go days without food. It's the same Jesus Christ that came out of glory. And then he did all that. The same Jesus Christ that healed the lepers. The same Jesus Christ that healed the sick. The same Jesus Christ that healed the blind. The same Jesus Christ that he loved people. And even though they hated him, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The same Jesus Christ where they spit in his face and they beat him upon his face and they beat him and they put him upon the cross. The same Jesus, my friends, that was despised and rejected. And that same Jesus died upon the cross of Calvary, that we could have life and have life more abundantly. Why wouldn't you want that Jesus Christ? God is our refuge and our strength. He's the one that has power. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, for he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. The Lord is my refuge and my strength. Therefore shall not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with a swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, and the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. He is in the midst of her, that she shall not be moved. He shall help her in that right early. The heathen raised, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Oh, that's the Lord that I know. He is my life and my salvation. He is my rock and he is my strength. He is my king and he's my Lord. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He's the same Christ that died on the cross of Calvary that we could have life. He loved us when we didn't love him. It don't matter if you cuss him. It don't matter if you hate him. It don't matter if you despise him or reject him. Hearing his love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. That's the Lord that I'm talking about. It's the same King, my friends, that'll rule this world one of these days. with a rod of iron, and the government will rest upon his shoulders, and his name shall be Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, and the Everlasting Father. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the Lord of Hosts. He is the Lord strong and mighty. He is the Lord mighty in battle. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the King of Glory. And that's my Savior. And that's my friend. And that's who we can commune with. And that's who we can be friends with. When this whole world forsakes you, and when everybody despises you, and when everybody runs their mouth about you, we have a friend in Jesus. I wonder if you know him today. Do you want Jesus Christ today? He is the same today as he was yesterday, and he's the same forever. Here's the one that will be as near to you as you want him to be. Jesus Christ will be just as close to you as you want him to be. And I can remember, and I'm not bragging about myself, and a lot of people think that I am. I was a state champion wrestler when I was in high school, and I'm ashamed of it. Ashamed of it. You say, why would you be ashamed of that? Why? Because I spent more time working out than I ever did praying, than I ever did seeking after God, than I ever did doing anything for God. There's a lot of people that died and went to hell that I could have talked to, that I never spoke to. And I can remember people telling me, well, you're going to be poor. And I remember the opportunities that I had. I had opportunities to go to different colleges. I could have went to West Point here in New York. I could have went to Kings Point here in New York. I could have went to Appalachian State. I could have went to Gardner Webb. I could have went to other places. I'm not bragging on myself. I'm just telling you the truth. And I can remember people telling me, you're crazy. You have these opportunities. Why would you pass this up? You could have a scholarship to go. You could go for free. Why would you pass this up? And I can remember God being as real to me as the clothes on my back and the shoes on my feet. Wow! And I can remember driving down the road with nobody around. And I can remember leaving the school when people told me I was crazy. Where I'd sit down at the cafeteria table and tell others about Jesus Christ. And they'd say, you're crazy. Why are you passing up the opportunities that you have? I can remember driving down the road and God would get bigger than I ever dreamed. And he'd get closer to me than I ever thought that he could ever be. And he'd bless my soul and fill my soul with joy and peace. Let me tell you something, friend. This world has a lot of things to offer, but Jesus Christ is better than silver and gold and diamonds and rubies and jewels and money and gold and college and everything else that goes with it. Jesus Christ is the best thing that ever happened to me. It's the best thing that ever happened to me.
Father, let me say this. God, will you get to that pulpit? Take this pulpit. That apparatus there. When King David was a dying, some of you heard me say this before, but when King David was dying, he's got his son Solomon. He wants to talk to him. His last chance to talk, he's going to die. David, all his life, had gathered wealth, wealth beyond anything you could imagine, for the house of God. He should give it all to a man. He said, what would you tell him? David's first words were, be strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. Amen. Show thyself a man. And then he said, fear God and keep his commandments.
Yes.
Now, years ago, I heard a preacher say this. A preacher I don't particularly recommend that he had this right. He said, as long as Solomon kept it in that order, man first, fear God second, that kingdom ran fine. Then the day came when them women kind of got him, twirled that hair around their finger and such, and began to build temples for other gods and bring that kingdom down. I have learned that if you can't be a man, you can't be a Christian.
Right.
Amen.
I've learned these little milksops, and we dealt with that last night, brother. We may deal with that, that milksop. Just a little bit of bread and milk, you know. Eat that, and you take that bread and hold it up with the milk, you know, and eat that, and that reappeared in my life, and that's what we ate. Now, if I've learned anything from Brother Vernon, he's raised men. Okay? He's raised men. I believe I can say that, brother. He's raised men. I've got men in this church. I do. I got some old men, men in their 80s, men that fought World War II, men that have gone out there and plowed fields and worked horses and then tractors and such. And I watched them, for example, when their wives grew old and crippled. And I watched those men take all their strength as a man and wind and make sure that her last days were just whatever she needed them to be and just wrap everything around it. I learned something about manhood there. I learned something about manhood. Problem today. Now, I'm not against if a woman does the same work as a man did the same pay. But I don't believe men and women are equal. When I wanted to get a wife, I didn't look for a man.
That's
right. Okay?
Amen.
Okay? I believe a woman is far superior to a man. Okay? Far, far superior. I believe there's things that a woman is so far superior to a man you can't even begin to talk about it. Okay? But then there's things that a man is superior to a woman.
That's right.
And a woman has got a brain in her head to lean on that. She'll rest on it and realize that. That makes such a wonderful marriage. Two of them get that thing straight. Hey, through those years where they're getting that straight. But the problem today is the only way people know how to make men and women eat, because you can't bring a woman to do what a man does. You just can't do it. So they kick the props out from under the man and make him into a woman.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That's what society's become.
Right.
Yes, amen. Amen. Well, I know one of the greatest ways to do that. If I wanted to take my boys and see to it that their testicles never form right, that they absolutely just kind of wimpy little things sitting there, not going to run it. I'd sit in front of a video game about 18 hours a day.
Right.
Okay? That's what I do. I just sit them there. I'm going to get this level 53. You know, I got the level 53. Who cares?
Exactly.
Who gives a level 53?
Yeah,
exactly.
Okay? Who cares? One of the things I like living around here in Black Creek is this. And I mean, I love this. You come out here sometimes, there'll be three, four boys standing around, all of them with axes and mauls, split wood. The girls are watching. We're watching that thing. And them boys, I'm trying to see if they can do it one hand, right? They had that sack out there. He showed them a thing or two. He showed them he can do it. They wanted to see. Well, let's see what this North Carolina boy can do. He showed them. He can do it. But if you want to prove yourself a man around here, they ain't getting the level 53. Okay? Here you go out there, and them girls will watch that, and they'll talk and titter and laugh and that kind of stuff. You know why them boys are doing it, because them girls will watch it. All right, it makes it 10 times more fun. But it's that idea of man. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'll tell you this. What brother's at talking about here, and I don't think there's a person here that heard it doesn't believe it was real in his life. I don't believe there's a single person that heard that talk. He just put on airs and that just got something out there, okay? But his daddy made him a man first. First thing he did, made him a man, okay? And then hoped and preached that God would grab the man. But if you ever get that backwards, you'll never get it right. It'll never happen.
You ever stop and think about Saul's so-called desire to save the best for God? For a sacrifice? All he had to do was what he was told. They'd have been the sacrifice. They'd have been the sacrifice God wanted. Simple as doing what he was told. Amen? That's good, Zach. Well, the Lord is good. His mercy endureth forever and ever to all generations. So I will stand up, sing praise, hallelujah, for I know the Lord is good. Well, I was down so low, I could not get up or go down any farther. My sins, which were many, He forgave and forgot them. Now I know the Lord is good. Oh, well, the Lord is good. His mercy endureth forever and ever to all generations. So I will stand up, sing praise, hallelujah, for I know the Lord is good. Well, I was sick in my body, and I could not get well. The doctors, they told me all they could tell, but the great physician came by my way. Now I know the Lord is good. Oh, well, the Lord is good. His mercy endureth to all generations. Amen and amen and amen.
Amen.
The Lord is good. Amen. Have you caught anything yet? Cotton, that's that. That must be a southern word, Brother Zach. Is that a southern word? Amen. Amen. I spent a lot of time in North Carolina and Florida and Georgia. And have you caught on to something here yet? What's the theme of this thing already? Him.
Amen.
Him. What's he want from you? You'll never know. You'll never know. Just sitting there listening to preaching. We saw that last night. And even if you just pull them out and listen, you're still not going to know. There's an expectation from God in everything that goes on around God. Put very simply, it's your move. It's your move. Amen. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Not just alive. Saul brought them back alive. But it wasn't the right sacrifice. A living sacrifice. Holy. That word Baptists hate. But it's a Pauline epistle doctrine. Amen. As well as it is everywhere else. Holy.
Yes.
Acceptable unto God.
Oh, Lord.
I ain't got a hat. I'd turn around backwards and say, here I am, Lord, you want to use me?
Yeah.
And I ain't dropping my drawers halfway to my knees.
Amen.
I'm saying, here I am. Yo, Jesus, use me, man. It don't happen that way.
No.
Acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
Yes.
Listen, if you were about to get run over out there by a semi, and I have to run out there and shove you out of the way and say, look out! And that semi run me over. What would you think of me the rest of your life? That man just saved my life. You were headed for the greatest, most horrible terror in all of time and eternity called hell. And Jesus rushed in and said, look out! And took your place. That don't light your fire, your wood's wet.
It's wonderful. Certain.
Least we can do is a reasonable offering.
Hey.
Whatever you want, Lord, here am I. Take it all. I ain't just giving you this thing. I'm giving you all of it, inside out.
Yes.
Upside down. Top to bottom. It's all yours. Whatever you want, it's yours. I'll do it. Oh, but what? Oh, but I'd have to give up my video game. Glory, hallelujah be to God. It's already proven that video games make people dumber. Amen. Just read the statistics. I never could figure them out. I guess I was too dumb already. Amen. Pac-Man. You remember when Pac-Man came out? Yeah. That little, he had the joy, and had, kind of looked like, oh, I won't say it. Y'all thought it though, didn't you? Amen. God's looking this week for a living sacrifice. Somebody that'll give him the glory for what he's worthy of. Brother Vernon.
Amber, you all right?
Father, Son, Amen. Tag team.
Turn this recorder on here.
The brother is already on, so.